The next Supreme Court term is just a few weeks away, and a new book by Jeffrey Toobin is bound to make waves. It's called The Nine, Inside the Secret World of the Supreme Court. NPR's Nina Totenberg says the title is a slight but forgivable overstatement.
The Nine is the latest and by far the best in a line of books this year about the Supreme Court. Supreme Conflict by ABC's Jan Crawford Greenberg contains a fair amount of good conservative gossip about the nomination of Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Samuel Alito, but it lacks the balance, substance, and context of Toobin's book. Jeffrey Rosen's book about famous court personalities and rivalries is interesting history packed into a professorial thesis. A biography of Justice Clarence Thomas by The Washington Post's Kevin Morita and Michael Fletcher is a creditable but limited look at Thomas. And Thomas himself was paid a reported $1 million to write a book that's slated to come out this fall. If you're interested in the Supreme Court as an institution and as a collection of personalities, though, Toobin's is the book to read. The plot is simple. The decades-long fight by a new and more extreme brand of conservative to take control of the Supreme Court. It's a fight that fails during the 80s and 90s and even in the early 21st century, despite the fact that Republican appointees far outnumbered Democratic appointees on the court. The denouement of the plot comes in 2005 when Justice Sandra Day O'Connor retires and Chief Justice William Rehnquist dies. Both would be replaced by appointees far more conservative, Roberts as Chief Justice and Alito as Associate Justice, men in the new conservative mold, or as Toobin puts it, in the mold of the new Republican Party of George W. Bush. The central thesis, or one might argue the central disclosure of Toobin's book, is his portrayal of Sandra Day O'Connor as increasingly alienated from the Republican Party she loved. Ironically, Toobin tells us, if there was a contemporary politician O'Connor really admired, it was the governor of Texas, George W. Bush, a man whose theme of compassionate conservatism was much like O'Connor's, or so she thought. Instead, says Toobin, O'Connor came to disdain the Bush presidency. It was a transformation that did not happen overnight, but with each step that President Bush took, whether to exert unilateral executive power in the war on terror or on social issues like abortion, separation of church and state, affirmative action, and gay rights. O'Connor was a healthy 75 in June of 2005, in the prime of her judicial influence and self-confidence, when her husband's Alzheimer's took a turn for the worse. She didn't want to leave the court, but with the ailing Chief Justice Rehnquist telling her he was going to hang on, she felt she had no choice but to step down to avoid a double vacancy in the future. In a cruel twist of fate, Rehnquist died weeks afterwards, and O'Connor's husband would not recognize her within a matter of months and had to be institutionalized. If O'Connor had any hope that her replacement would be a woman of substance or a justice of her general outlook, that hope was dashed with the appointment of Samuel Alito. The appointment, contends Toobin, was anathema to O'Connor. It was Alito's lower court opinion on the abortion question that O'Connor had repudiated in the strongest terms in 1992. The Alito opinion approved a law that required women to prove they had notified their husbands before they could have an abortion. To O'Connor, Alito's view was, quote, repugnant. Women, she said, do not lose their constitutionally protected rights when they marry. His appointment as her successor infuriated her. Most of this is not new to court aficionados, but the rich detail and well-written Toobin narrative is. So, too, are details of the Bush versus Gore case, into which Toobin weaves the personalities of the justices, the rage of conservatives at the actions of the Florida Supreme Court, and the despair of the four dissenters. Indeed, Justice David Souter is portrayed as so upset by the political nature of the final decision that he nearly resigned in protest. In short, this is a good read, a digestible and often fascinating look at the court, its recent history, and what lies ahead.
Nina Totenberg is NPR's legal affairs correspondent. You can read an excerpt from Jeffrey Toobin's new book on the Supreme Court at our website, npr.org. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.